Hi, everybody. Welcome to English Digest. I'm Tom.
Hi, I'm Stephanie.
And today is the second day of this month's unit on literature. And, of course, we're talking about the play Pygmalion by the playwright George Bernard Shaw. He's an Irish guy who later worked in London. And today we are going to talk about the life and times of the author of Pygmalion, George Bernard Shaw, or George Bernard Shaw, however you want to pronounce it. So I could say some more stuff to introduce our story today, but I'm sure you're all eagerly awaiting the chance to listen to the content of today's lesson. So let's get to it. Let's read the content right now. George Bernard Shaw was an Irish playwright, novelist, arts critic, and socialist. He was born in Dublin, Ireland in 1856 and moved to London, UK at the age of 20, where he wrote 5 novels in 4 years. By the 1880s, Shaw was making a living as a music and theater critic. In 1884, after reading an article on the problems of the poor, Shaw joined the Fabian Society, a socialist organization devoted to social justice and reform through gradual change. Shaw incorporated many of the society's views, such as the importance of income equality, in his dramatic works. Shaw and other Fabian Society members founded the London School of Economics and Political Science in 1895. Shaw's first successful play, Arms and the Man, was performed in 1894. He went on to write more than 60 plays throughout his lifetime, including Candida, Man and Superman, Major Barbara, Pygmalion, and Saint Joan. The topics of his works ranged from historical events to modern-day social problems. In 1925, already well established as the leading playwright of his generation, Shaw won the Nobel Prize in Literature. 13 years later, he won an Academy Award for the first film adaptation of his play, Pygmalion. The play would later be adapted into the popular stage musical, My Fair Lady. The 1964 film adaptation of My Fair Lady also won 8 Academy Awards. In the last 30 years of his life, Shaw rejected the Fabian Society's ideals and expressed some controversial views, supporting foreign dictatorships and opposing organized religion. He died in 1950 at the age of 94. His work continues to have a huge influence on Western culture and literature. Okay, it's time for us to discuss the contents of today's lesson. And it's the second day of this month's work on literature, our article on literature, our unit on literature, I should say. And it's all about the playwright George Bernard Shaw. He was an Irish playwright, novelist, arts critic, and socialist. So there you go. In a nutshell, that describes Mr. Shaw here. He was Irish, from Ireland. He was a playwright, a person who writes plays. He was a novelist, a person who writes novels. An arts critic, a person who writes reviews of plays and musical performances and stuff like that. And he was also a socialist, which is a political ideology about the sharing of resources, central organized economics and things like that. Socialism is the noun form. And if you believe in socialism, you are a socialist.
He was born in Dublin, Ireland. What a great country that is. If you haven't been, I encourage as many of you as can, go to that country. It's wonderful. So Dublin, Ireland. He was born in 1856, so this was a while ago. But then he moved to London in the United Kingdom at the age of 20, where he wrote 5 novels in 4 years. So this guy was a real writer, you could say. He probably didn't have much writer's block, which is what writers talk about when they sit down to write and they can't think of anything creative. He obviously didn't have writer's block. So by the 1880s, when the 1880s rolled around, Shaw was making a living as a music and theater critic. So even if he wasn't writing creatively from his own mind and brain, he was then looking at things that other people had produced artistically and giving his opinion about it. Like Tom said, if you're an arts critic,You are either listening to music, watching a movie, maybe watching a play, and then you write your thoughts about it. And then people who see these reviews, is what we call them, or critiques in the newspaper back then, they would decide whether they want to pay money for a ticket to go see it or to go hear it or to go listen to it, things like that. So he was usually involved in the arts, you could say. That's all he really did was he was functioning in the arts at that time.
So again, he moved to London, and Shaw was making a living as a music and theater critic. So that was by the 1880s, so he established himself in London town there, and he was making a living, which means he was having a successful career. If you make a living, that means you figure out some kind of job to do, and you make enough money to survive.To make your payments, to make your house payments, to put food on the table, stuff like that. He was making a living as a music and theater critic, and I suppose if he wanted to, he could have kept on doing just that for the rest of his life, and he could have lived a comfortable life. But he wasn't satisfied with that, so in 1884, after reading an article on the problems of the poor, Shaw joined the Fabian Society,a socialist organization devoted to social justice and reform through gradual change. And all through life, of course, we have these small little incidents in which they kind of affect the flow of our lives, where it goes. So for some reason, he was reading the newspaper or a magazine or something, and he came across an article that really grabbed him. It was an article about the problems of the poor.And maybe he didn't realize the poor people were having so many problems. So he was so influenced by that article, he decided to join something called the Fabian Society. And what is that? Well, it's a socialist organization devoted to social justice. Justice just means fairness in the law and in the courts.If someone is murdered, for example, we want to see justice. We want the murderer to be caught and punished for his or her crime. That is justice. We want social justice and also reform, which means change, changing things from, you know, the poor state they're in now to something better. We're always talking about government reform. When a new government comes in, they talk about reforming the government.And they want to do this through gradual change. There are other socialist organizations that want to have some kind of revolution. No, we need change right now. We need to have an actual war. We need a revolution. But the Fabian Society said, no, we don't need a war, but we do need a change. It has to be gradual change. Gradual just means slowly over a period of time.
And Shaw incorporated many of the society's views, their opinions, their perspectives, such as the importance of income equality in his dramatic work. So, like a lot of writers, he wrote about things he cared about, things he felt strongly about, and because he wanted to see some of the poor lifted up out of the poverty that they were living in, he wrote about those things in his plays.To incorporate something into something else just means you include it, you add it. And this sentence here, at least, we're talking about the society's views. His views were incorporated into his works. Now, if you talk about income equality, equality means things are equal, they're fair, so that people would have similar amounts of money. And he also...went on with the Fabian Society. Remember, he's part of this group, organization, you could say. They went on to found the London School of Economics and Political Science in 1895. This school is still in existence. One of my best friends graduated from there. To found something is not the past tense of find, guys. Found is actually the present tense. This verb just means you set up an organization, you start it. Maybe you want to be an entrepreneur and found your own company. You would set it up and then run it after that. So they helped found this very famous, it's one of the best schools for economics in the world, the London School of Economics and Political Science. I don't think they call it political science anymore. It's just the London School of Economics. But this was way back in 1895.
Okay, so he set this up, he founded it, he established it, he organized it way back in 1895. That's what he did all right. Now, Shaw's first successful play, Arms and the Man, was performed in 1894. I had never heard of that play, but that's okay because, as we talked about before, what, did he write about 60 plays or something like that? So if you haven't heard of some of his plays, you shouldn't feel so bad. So this was his first play that was successful, which means they sold tickets and they actually made a profit from this, or it was published and he sold enough copies of it to, you know, make a profit from it. And it was performed in 1894. We do have the word to perform here. If you have a play, you need to get some actors together. You need to set up the stage and maybe hire some musicians or something like that. And then you perform that play. It was performed in 1894. I'm not sure of the state of the film industry at that time, but for a long time, people entertained themselves by going to the theater to see a live play. People still kind of do that, but it's very rare. Most people go to see films or movies, but in any case, back at the time, plays were a big deal, so it was performed in 1894, and he went on to write more than 60 plays throughout his lifetime, including some entitled Candida, Man and Superman, Major Barbara, Pygmalion, and Saint Joan.
Yeah, they didn't have movies back then, right? They were just starting to come out with silent movies. Remember, there were no speakies. Those are the movies with sound. So it took the movie industry a little while to get going. So, of course, if you wanted to go see a good show, you would go to the theater. So he was pretty busy writing all of these different plays. I read that some of these were so popular that they were put on almost continuously. So he was quite a popular playwright when he was alive even. So the topics of his works, we're talking about his plays here, range from historical events to modern day social problems. So he didn't just write about modern day issues, things that he was experiencing or that were familiar to the rest of his friends and family. He would also go back in history. For example, Saint Joan, that's Joan of Arc. Okay. She was a very popular figure in history. So he did both modern and historical plays. We're going to talk more about some of the things he wrote and some of the prizes that he was given. But first, guys, we're going to listen to our Chinese teacher and then we'll be back.
大家好，欢迎收听 English Digest， 我是哈利。今天我们要阅读的文章是 Unit 15 文学单元的第二天课程。在今天的文章中，我们将会阅读到爱尔兰知名作家 George Bernard Shaw 的生平背景和创作理念。萧伯纳在西元1856年出生于爱尔兰的都柏林。我们看到第一段的第三句 By the 1880s, Shaw was making a living as a music and theater critic.西元1880年代以前，萧伯纳以音乐及戏剧评论家的身份谋生。Living 在本句做名词用，意思是 The way that you earn money or the money that you earn， 也就是生计的意思。当我们要问别人做什么谋生，我们可以说 What do you do for a living？ 如果我们要回答我们做什么谋生，我们可以说 MakeOr earn a living by doing something. 例如 I make a living by teaching students in high school. 我在高中教书谋生。另外 living 也可以做形容词用，放在名词前意思是活的。例如 a living legend, legend, L-E-G-E-N-D, 就是指活生生的传奇。Living proof 就是指活生生的例子。例如 My great-grandfather is living proof that you are never too old to learn. 活到老学到老，我曾祖父就是活生生的例子。我们接着看到第一段的倒数第二句有一个动词 incorporate， 意思是 To include something as part of a group, system, plan, etc. 也就是合并、并入的意思。Incorporate A into B, 或是 incorporate A in B, 就是指将 A 并入 B。例如 ,The architect incorporated many eco-friendly features into his design for the library. 这位建筑师将许多环保特色并入他对这座图书馆的设计。文章的第二段提到萧伯纳的一些作品。我们看到这一段的第二句前半部分。He went on to write more than 60 plays throughout his lifetime. 而后他在有生之年持续撰写超过60部剧本。Go on 有继续下去的意思。后面可以接不定词或动名词 ving, 意思会有所不同。Go on to 加原形动词是指做完某件事接着做另一件事。例如 ,My father finished doing the dishes and went on to do the laundry. 我爸爸洗完碗盘后接着去洗衣服。Go on 加 ving 则是指继续做同一件事。例如 ,Unemployment is likely to go on rising this year. 今年的失业率可能会继续上升。
We're going to take a quick break. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. Welcome back, guys. We're talking about George Bernard Shaw or George Bernard Shaw.Depending on how you want to say it. He was an Irishman. He was born in Dublin, Ireland in 1856. And like a lot of Irish folks, even today, if you want to, you know, make it big, you got to move to London. That's kind of the big city that people go to. If you live in America, you're probably going to have to go to LA. Although there are some movies made in New York, but you got to go where the work is. And that's what he did. He went to London and he was a very...voracious writer. You could say voracious means just couldn't get enough of it. So he wrote quite a bit. He wrote 5 novels in 4 years. Some people write 1 novel in 5 years. So he did very well. But he was making a living as a music and theater critic by the 1880s. And then after a few years after that, he saw an article about the problems of the poor.And he wanted to really help. So he joined this society called the Fabian Society, a socialist organization, trying to help the lower classes, especially in England. That was the Industrial Revolution period. So there were a lot of kids working in factories. The poor just didn't have enough food. It was a tough time. So he wanted to reform society through gradual change. And he would often write about these things that he saw in his plays. So he did a lot of good that way. He also helped found a very, very famous and prestigious school called the London School of Economics and Political Science in 1895.
And of course, he wrote some successful plays, and that's kind of where we left off here. And he also wrote a lot of things about a lot of different topics, from historical events to modern day social problems. Now, to continue our lesson, it says, in the year 1925, already well established as the leading playwright of his generation, Shaw won the Nobel Prize in Literature. So he had already been working for many, many years there, so he was finally recognized for his achievements. In the year 1925, he received the Nobel Prize for Literature, and that's not a surprise because it says here he was the leading playwright of his generation. He was probably the most popular playwright at that time in the UK. Now, 13 years later, he won an Academy Award for the first film adaptation of his play,Pygmalion. So that was in the 1930s. Someone actually took his play and made it into a movie entitled Pygmalion. And that's a film adaptation. Adaptation is a noun. It's from the verb to adapt something. That means a play that was written on paper as a book was actually made into a movie. They sort of changed it into a movie script so that it could be actually filmed in a studio.
When it was originally written as a play, that was a while ago, but they actually turned it into a film and then a musical. The film is very, very famous with Audrey Hepburn. When it was put on stage, as a musical, it starred Julie Andrews, who is the famous singer-actress from The Sound of Music. So she wasn't as famous back then, so they decided to, instead of cast her, they picked Audrey Hepburn, who was very famous at that time. So the play would later be adapted into the popular stage musical My Fair Lady. I was telling Tom before we started that Shaw did not want his play turned into a musical because he thought it should be more serious. The ending of the movie is also different from the ending of the play. In the movie, she ends up sort of falling in love with Higgins, but in the play, she leaves him and steps out on her own, showing she has a lot of independence. And that's what Shaw preferred. He didn't want to see Higgins and Eliza end up together in some sort of romance. So the 1964 film adaptation of My Fair Lady was very successful. It won 8 Academy Awards. That's a ton of Oscars. If you're talking about the Academy Awards, guys, you're also talking about what we refer to kind of in slang, I guess. We just say, I want to see the Oscars. The Oscar is actually the name of that golden trophy that is given to the winners. But the official name of that award show is called the Academy Awards.
Yes, indeed, which takes place, what, in March every year or so? I'm never quite sure
about
that.
March, April, yeah.
But in any case, we're talking about various adaptations of Pygmalion into the film in 1938 and then later into My Fair Lady, which was a musical, I think, starring Julie Andrews and Rex Harrison. And then the film version starred Audrey Hepburn and Rex Harrison, if I'm not mistaken. So check it out. You might be able to find them on Netflix or something like that.
And if you're in New York this time of year, it's actually on stage in Broadway. They've done a revival. I might go see it when I'm back there, yeah.
Fine tickets, indeed. While everybody else is trying to go see Hamilton, you can go get the cheap tickets for My Fair Lady. So it won 8 Academy Awards, I think, back in 1964. Now, in the last 30 years of his life, Shaw rejected the Fabian Society's ideals and expressed some controversial views, supporting foreign dictatorships and opposing organized religion. This does happen to a lot of famous people as they get older. Their politics tend to change. They tend to go do the conservative route.
They get some wisdom.
They get some wisdom, or they get scared of death or something as they're getting closer to the final day of their life. I better be good there. So.
Not all conservatives are religious, though, but he did change the way he thought. He lived to a ripe old age as well, 94. So if you reject something, you turn it down. Maybe someone has asked you out for a date, but you say no, you reject them. Or maybe you've applied to go to college at a certain university and you don't get in. They send you a rejection letter or letter of rejection, which is hard. But here, this is the verb form, reject. Rejection is the noun form. If you express controversial views, it means not everyone agrees with you. There's a lot of debate about something. One issue that's very controversial is abortion. That's an example of something that's controversial. People feel strongly about it. Supporting foreign dictatorships, that's kind of weird. If you're a dictator, you don't give the people that you rule over any freedom. Your law is what you say is law. And you better not talk against the dictator or you might find yourself in prison or killed.
Yeah, we don't know which dictatorships he was supporting here. This was long before Castro took over in Cuba. But maybe he was supporting Mussolini in Italy or something like that. He was a dictator in Italy during World War II. So he had some controversial views supporting those dictatorships and opposing organized religion. Okay, I guess that just means he was against big churches or something like that. Maybe he supported smaller churches. I don't know. But he opposed them. He was against them. And he died in 1950 at the age of 94. That's the ripe old age of 94. And his work continues to have a huge influence on Western culture and literature. So check him out. You can probably find some of his plays online, probably in the public domain, perhaps, or maybe for a cheap price at an online bookstore or something like that. And yes, indeed, we've been talking about George Bernard Shaw in today's program. But hey, join us again next time when we talk some more about the actual play, Pygmalion. But before we say goodbye today, we'd like to hear once again from our Chinese teacher.
我们接着看到第三段的第二句。13 years later, he won an Academy Award for the first film adaptation of his play, Pygmalion. 13年后，他因由他的剧本《卖花女》改编而成的第一部电影，而拿到奥斯卡金像奖。名词 adaptation 在本句是改编的意思。例如 ,This movie is an adaptation of a best-selling novel.这部电影改编自一本畅销小说 ,adaptation 还有适应的意思。Cockroaches' evolutionary adaptation allows them to survive almost any environment. 蟑螂的演化适应力使其能够在几乎任何环境中存活下来。Adaptation 的动词就是下一句中的 adapt, A-D-A-P-T。Adapt to something 就是适应某事物。例如 ,The transfer student is finding it hard to adapt to the new school. 这位转学生发现他难以适应新学校。另外要注意的是不要和另外一个动词混淆了。Adopt, A-D-O-P-T, 是收养采用的意思。名词是 adoption, A-D-O-P-T-I-O-N。例如 ,We didn't adopt Tom's approach because it would cost a lot. 我们不采用汤姆的方法因为此方法将会花费甚多。我们看到最后一段第一句的后半部分有一个动词 ,opposing。oppose, O-P-P-O-S-E, 是反对的意思。oppose 后面可加名词或 V-I-N-G,或者我们也可以用 be opposed to 加名词或 ving， 例如 ，We are opposed to obeying this unreasonable rule。我们反对遵守这条不合理的规定。以上就是今天的课程，谢谢大家收听。
Okay, that brings us to the end of our lesson. Make sure you join us again next time when we continue to talk about Pygmalion. From all of us here at English Digest, I'm Tom.
I'm Stephanie.
Goodbye.
Bye.